actions. He demonstrated how to yield, how to love, how to encourage, how to be obedient, how to do things with integrity and justness. And Paul's encouraging, because you're recreated in the image of Christ, you ought to exude those same characteristics. So let's go ahead and dig into the scripture. Chapter 3, Paul's letter to the Colossian church. Take a look, if you will, with me. Let's start here. Let's take a look at verse 18. Now, before we do that, I guess I should tell you this. Do you guys see it's in red? See the words in red? So one of the great things about this paragraph is there's a lot of what we call imperatives, commands, that have been given a really strong sense in the original language. And so I put them in red because these are the imperative actions. These are the things that essentially we're commanded to be doing. And so this week you're going to see them pop up in red, because in this section of text, there's a lot more imperatives than many other places in the Bible. There's a lot more very blunt, direct, you need to be doing these things. So that's why you'll see these things up in the red. So beginning with verse 18, wives, submit to your husbands as in fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. All right, church, confession time. Never has a pastor felt more inadequate than to talk about husbands and wives, parenting and children, co-workers and workers. I know often you will come to me and say, Pastor, that one stepped on my toes. Well, I want to tell you, all week I was dropping sledgehammers on, well, God was dropping sledgehammers on mine. And yet this is what the Word of God calls us to. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Notice the order here, guys. Notice who it starts with. Wives. One of the things that you're going to notice here is in the Roman culture, the wives were nothing. They were simply trophies. They were considered just property almost. If they had a benefit, great. If they didn't, who cares? And yet, one of the things that we see is Jesus addresses them. Paul addresses them. And he is saying, because we've been recreated in Christ, they have an image too. Because we've been recreated in Christ, they are important because they are in Christ. That becomes the identity. And so Paul starts with women. He's going to consider children. And he's going to talk to us about slaves. One of the things that we see already, as Paul is telling us we've been recreated, what happens is what is unimportant to the world is important to God, including people. So he starts with wives. Submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Do you remember back in the, if you didn't watch it, it's probably a good thing. Remember the old WWF? The wrestling with the big belts, right? And my goal was, if I could stay over with Pap and Grandma and stay up late enough, I could maybe catch one or two of those. And, you know, my favorite was always to watch them do a submission move. You know what that is? Like where you got somebody and they're in such uncomfort that they just tap out or they smack out. Or what my brother Derek and I used to do is just try to wrestle each other until the other one would submit. I mean, what was happening is this forced action of, I'm going to hold you down and contort you until you're uncomfortable enough to give up. Yeah, it has nothing to do with this word. This word submit is not any kind of coercion. This word submit in the original language, it really has to do with more of a military ranking. Like, I am going to take the assumption, or to take the position that you, I'm a private and you're a colonel. While we have equality because we're both created and redeemed in the image of Christ, you have a higher role, a higher ranking than me, and I am going to willfully submit myself to that authority. But the word in English today, when you think of submit, you think of wrestlers and fighters and holding somebody down until they give up, and that's not what's going on here, gang. When Paul is writing, and he does this in the Ephesians letter too, when Paul is writing to wives, he is essentially saying, listen, because Jesus Christ is now Lord, He is also Lord of your household. When you submit, when you yield, that's the word we're going to go with. When you yield, you are yielding not just to the role of your husband, but you are yielding to the headship of Christ as the head of your family. And Jesus models this for us, gang. Do you remember what Paul says in Philippians? Have this in mind amongst yourselves, which is in Christ Jesus, that though being God, did not count that as something to be grasped, to be clung to or held on. See, the relationship between Jesus God and the Father God, Jesus models this. Jesus is every bit as much God as Yahweh the Father is. But in the Father's plan of redemption, Jesus says, I am equally God, but I'm not going to cling to that. I am going to yield myself to your plan, Father. Right? That's the model. That there is no women are better than men or men are better than women. No, it is simply this yielding under the lordship of Christ in the family unit that the husband has the rank of authority within that unit and then the wife. But gang, what I want you to see in this is I want you to see the husband's role too. Look at the imperative, husbands. Love your wives. Do you see it? Love. Love, and it's not the eros, it's not the erotic, and it's not the brotherly, it's the straight, godly, agape love. Love your wives. And remember, Jesus is the model for all of this. And how does Jesus in Ephesians, Paul pulls it out a little more, and he tells husbands, you need to love your wives as Christ loved the church. And do you know what Christ did for the church? He became present, one. He showed up. He was Emmanuel, God with us in the manger. He was present. He was with the people that he was to love. He became part of them. He spent time with them. He cared for them. And he sacrificed for them. Men, the kind of love that we're called to that Jesus Christ models is that we are present. Incarnational love. We've got to be present with our families, with our wives. We've got to spend time with them. We've got to talk to them. I told you, it's stepping on my toes. We've got to incarnate. I can't even remember the word now. We have to be like Christ incarnate, to be present and sacrificial. That the love that we show to our wives is with them and for them. And that last part, gang, do not be harsh with them. It means this: do not make them embittered. Do not treat them or ignore them in such a way that they become embittered or angry at them. Because if you do that, husbands, what we're starting to do is we're starting to cause our wives to sin in this. We need to treat each other. We have been recreated in the image of Christ, and we need to make sure that we sacrificially love, spend time with our families and our wives, and that we make sure our actions encourage and build up, but would never embitter them. Now, the big thing I want you to see in this one is this reverses the curse of Genesis chapter 3, doesn't it? You remember Genesis chapter 3? That's the fall. And do you remember the consequences of the fall? Where God looks at the serpent and he says, man, because you've done this, you are going to crawl on your belly all the days of your life and you're going to eat dirt. And he turns to the woman and he says, pain in childbirth. And your desire is going to be over your husband, but he'll be over you. Right? In that phrase, in those couple of verses right there, is the great power struggle. It's the one that makes all kinds of sitcoms funny. Right? I love watching Everybody Loves Raymond. Seen that one? It's okay. You're not going to sin if you say yes. And what's funny about it is Deborah, the mother, kind of runs around and wants to be in charge of everything. And Ray's like, I just want to work and go golfing. And what happens then is this power struggle in the house. Guys, that power struggle, which we turn into sitcoms, but is very real in our lives. It's funny because we live it. That power struggle is Genesis chapter 3. It's where God says, because of sin and selfishness, I had created you one for the other, partners. There was no other suitable helper for man except for woman. I created you perfect partners to execute my glory over this creation I made. But in your selfishness, you broke that. And because you broke it, there is power struggle and anger and fighting and strife in the marriage relationship. But look at what this does. When we are recreated, look at how it recreates these relationships. Wives, submit, yield to your husband. Don't look for that control. Don't look for that. I'm over you. I'm greater than you. I know more than you. I should, what my say should be counts because you're crazy and you're not even here or whatever it might be. Look at what it does to the power struggle of Genesis 3. Wives, yield to your husband because Christ is the Lord of your husband. And so by yielding to him, you are yielding under his authority to Christ. And husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. Don't be harsh with them. Do you see how it's recreating Genesis chapter 3? Hey, look at how it changes. And yielding and loving is something that Jesus has demonstrated for us. But it doesn't just stop with husbands and wives. Now's when we want to go get the P&W kids and bring them back in, because it has to deal also with parents and children. Look at the next two verses, 20 and 21, with me. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Now look at the imperatives again, guys. Do you see them? Obey and do not provoke. First of all, the lesson, look, first it's the children. To see what he's done, he started with the wives, he starts with the children, and the next section is going to start with the slaves. Jesus is addressing in this, or Paul is addressing in recreation, what Jesus has done to it's not the husband as head and sole authority of the household. It's the husband who is under lordship of Christ, and everybody else is important in the household too. Children were not meant to just be thrown away, as Rome would say. Paul looks at them and he says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Obeying. Boy, didn't Jesus model that, gang? Didn't Jesus model that to the Father? When the full weight of sin was bearing down and in front of him, and moments before he would feel the complete separation of God on the cross, in the garden, praying so hard he was sweating blood, Jesus says, is there another way? Can't this cup be taken from me? This is not gonna be good. But your will be done. Do you see that? He too yields to the Father. His whole life. Remember what God has said as he's interceded a couple times? This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased at his baptism and at the transfiguration. What Jesus did always pleased the Father. Why? Because Jesus obeyed the Father. What Jesus models is we can obey our parents because they're under the lordship of Christ too. Because they've been recreated and they've been redeemed. And so those who are redeemed, their lives, their recreated lives, one of the things that people ought to see about the invisible God is obedience. Is listening and obeying because we love the Father. And parents, do not provoke your children. My son and I love him. He's good. He's a good kid. You guys know that. But we have some serious differences, usually involving where we put our clothes away when we're done, or did we empty the cereal bowl, and why are we leaving things on the floor? And usually when it kind of comes to pass is when I'm hurrying up to get the kids out of the door to get them in the car because we probably should have left 5 minutes ago for school, and I'm walking out and I stop and I step on a headphone or something. I'm like, "Hey, Dad, Carter, get in here." He's like, "What'd I do, Dad?" And I just, you know, there was a point, I felt like for about a month, where I just ripped into him. "You got to clean this up. We got to put stuff away. If you ever want to have anything good in your life, you got to put it away." And I'm having flashbacks to when I used to leave my dad's tools out in the yard, by the way, and thinking, well, I guess I finally got this. But I just saw in the car one day as I said goodbye to the kids as they were getting out, and I said, "I love you guys." I just saw this downcast on my son's face. And it, guys, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I did that to him. He's about to go to school and he's going to have to learn. And he's about to have an exhausting day. And he's going to face all kinds of social issues. And he's going to go into this and he's going to have, it's a tough thing, guys, to go to school today. If you don't believe us, come to Good News Club. These kids are exhausted and they are rattled. And I sent my son to school in a mindset where he was already down. And so when I saw this verse and I read this verse, what I see is in this, "Do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged." Parents, we have been redeemed and we have been recreated. Our job is not to get where our kids are discouraged, but our job is to point out what God is doing in their lives and encourage them. Our job is to point out to our children that there is a God who takes care of their deficiencies, not to continue to point them out. There's a God who sees value in them regardless of if they fold their clothes the right way. What this verse is calling us to is parents under the lordship of Christ in our household. We are to lead our children, build them up and encourage them, not provoke or discourage them. One of my life's out of order. What does God do to me? Does he come down and scream at me? Does he tear me apart? Or does he say, "I love you. Let's get this right, Chad. I'll help you." Right? Model what Jesus Christ has done for us, for our children. Let us be windows of God's grace. Windows of God's love, windows of God's mercy, windows of being the paraclete, the one who comes alongside and helps us. Let's come alongside our children and help them, not squish them down. That's making the invisible God visible, obeying and encouraging. Let's move on to the next section. Masters and servants, I want you to see something. Look how much text is given to this subject. We know wives and husbands are important, and we know children and parents are important. But look how much text, how many words are given to the relationship between masters and servants. Why? Because again, servants, recreated in the image of Christ, have absolutely as much value as masters who are recreated in the image of Christ. This new humanity says there is no distinction. But we do live in earthly places where there are rules. Now you're going to go, "Well, Pastor, I'm going to take a nap on this one because I got no servants, I got no butlers, I got no man, whatever." Guys, this relates to us in how we work with each other. How we work for our boss, how we work with those that we supervise. All right? And unless you're a one-man dental practice with no office staff, this fits everyone, okay? Let's read the text. "Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Do you see the imperatives in there, gang? Obey, work, and treat. Let's focus on those a little bit. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters. Did you ever work with somebody? I was just talking with Brian and Tim up here a little bit ago about one of my previous jobs. We were business-to-business sales, so we would go in everybody else's office. Our office ran perfectly smooth and no problems, but we were able to go into other people's offices and see their issues. And I was telling them about this lady that we were putting a project together in her office for a week. And during that week, during when she got paid to work, she read 6 romance novels. Like, we watched her. She didn't do anything else. Now, when the boss would come around in the desk and she'd scurry and just start typing, and I'm sure it made no sense whatsoever, but she was being paid to do a job, and she only did it when people were watching. Do you see, not by the way of eye service? Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters. Not by way of eye service, as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Do you see that qualifier there? That obedience is essentially, guys, this is an issue of integrity. Do you only work hard when the boss is looking? Are you only productive if you know that this is something the boss cares about? Are you working with your coworkers in a way where you're pulling your weight? Or only when the eyes are watching? See, this is what he's saying when he says obey in everything. He's essentially saying, do your job. For us today, it translates, do your job and do it with integrity. It doesn't matter if you're going to be reviewed on it or not. It doesn't matter if anybody's going to look at it or not. It doesn't matter if the boss is watching. Christ is watching you. And he has recreated us into a new humanity. And one of the marks of that new humanity is integrity. So when you're supposed to be working, be working. And do it with a sincerity of heart. Do it, whatever you do, look at that, whatever you do, work heartily. As for the Lord and not for men. There are, it's an interesting thing to hire somebody. Right? Because you look and you're trying to figure out, will this person fit our characteristics of our work ethic? Is this kind of person I can trust when I'm not looking? And folks, what we want to hear is people to go, I want to hire Christians because they display the integrity of their God. I want to hire Christians who are trustworthy because their God holds honesty up and high. I want to hire Christians because they are hard workers. I want to hire Christians. I want to work for a Christian, right? Why? Why is it important for us? Because God's reputation is important for us. People know you're a Christian. They know what church you go to, even if you don't tell them. And what matters is God's reputation. When they see us, do they see, oh, yeah, they work only when the boss is here. Every other time they're by the water cooler gossiping, right? How does that reflect on our God, right? Remember, when we've been recreated in this new humanity, he's created us, recreated us in his image. And so what people ought to see is they ought to see the invisible God made visible through our actions. And so in this, Jesus Christ is Lord. He's allowed us to be at that job. He's allowed us to do this work. So do it with integrity. When you're supposed to be working, work. And work hard and work proud and not proud of what you can do, but proud that God has given you the characteristics and the talents to be able to do that job and use them for God's glory. Maybe assembling widgets or typing on a keyboard, you're thinking, how can this bring God glory? How it brings God glory is you have been placed in a group of people and God says, I am putting you there to display my characteristics. These people will come to know me because they've come to know you. So this text puts us in mind, church, that when we are at work, remember that we are representing God. Do it with integrity. And if you've got people that you're supervising, do it in fairness. Look at the last part of this. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Let's jump back into the Roman context for a minute. In the Roman context, these bondservants, these slaves, were considered property. They were like toothbrushes. You use it, it's good for a while, and you need a new one, you throw this one, you get another one. It was cruel, it was inhumane, it was the way of the world, and Jesus says, I've recreated humanity, and so this shouldn't happen anymore. If you have people who are your servants, if you have bond servants, you need to treat them justly and fairly. Why? Because your master has treated you justly and fairly. Do you see what God has done? Remember I told you in the Roman household, the male was the head of it all, and he was the sole authority. And what Jesus has said is when you become a Christian, when you follow me, when I recreate you into a new humanity, yes, you're still in that position, but now I'm above you. Now I have the authority over this household. Now I am the one who is Lord over all of this. You are not Lord over it. I am Lord, and I am Lord of you, and I'm Lord of your bondservants. And I have treated you justly, and I have treated you fairly. How can you not but treat those who are under your authority the same way? Guys, we've all worked for bosses who could care less if we were there or not. All we were was productivity for them. Don't be one of those bosses. Be fair. Be just. Christ loves you, has shown you grace and mercy. He has been just and fair with you. Be just and fair with your coworkers. Be just and fair with those who you supervise. That's what a redeemed child of God, the new humanity, that's what it means to be recreated, is that we treat each other in fairness. Now, in all of these relationships, the key to all of these characteristics and the key to us as we live these things out as spouses, as parents and children, and as co-workers and bosses and supervisees and supervisors, the key to all of this, gang, is for us to remember, I don't care if it's your job, your kids, or your spouse, Christ is Lord over it. I don't care if it's your house. I don't care if it's the ballpark. I don't care if it's the school bus. I don't care if it's the factory. Christ is Lord over it. I don't care if it's the husband or the wife. Christ is Lord over it. The child or the parent, Christ is Lord over it. He has redeemed it. He has recreated it. And he says, it will bear my mark. It will bear the reconciliation. It will bear recreation. It will bear a marked difference from the rest of the world. So these Roman households are going to look so different. Because those who are redeemed in Christ yield to Christ. They love like Christ loves. They work like Christ would work. They treat others the way Christ would, justly and fairly. They obey like Christ obeyed the Father. They encourage and build up in the way that Christ encouraged and built up his disciples. We have been recreated. And in our actions, within our households and within our jobs, we've been recreated to display his characteristics, to make the invisible God visible through how we treat others. Christ is Lord. We need to yield to him. Let him change us. All these places, guys, where it stepped on my toes today, I ain't going to become a better parent if I try to fix it myself. I'm not going to be a better husband by reading a book. I'm not going to be a better coworker because of this text. I need to yield my heart over to Jesus Christ and say, I need to be better at these things. Can you fix them in me, Jesus? Holy Spirit, come down, change me, and give me the grace to look to the world like you look to me. I imagine I'm probably not the only one who has to pray that prayer today. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you. Oh, Lord, we would be a mess without you. Oh, God, we're a mess before you've come into our lives. You've changed us. You've recreated us. And God, you make us different. And yet, Lord, this war within us that Paul talks about in another letter, this war that rages within us continues to want to pop the old self up. God, remind us of that last text. Remind us of last week's scripture that the old self is dead. So God, help us that we might bury the old way we parented, that we might bury the old way that we were a husband or a wife, that we might bury the old way that we worked. Help us, God, to live our lives in relationship with others that display your characteristics. Yielding, obedience, love, grace, encouragement. Help us to show the world how you relate to the Father, Jesus, and how we relate to our spouse. Help us to show the world what the good Father looks like in the way that we parent. Help us to show the world, God, that we are co-workers with Christ in the way that we work with others. And we know, God, that this is nothing we can fix on our own. So, Holy Spirit, give us the grace and power and encourage us that our lives, that we might yield these places over to you, that we might confess you as Lord of our families and Lord of our jobs, and that we might let you reign. Change us and show the world your glory because you've recreated us. We ask this in the name of Christ our Lord and all God's people.